Course, I'm your host, Tiffany, and today I have a special guest.
Billy the Kid? Are we still doing that?
If you want to keep that nickname. Billy, he used to be on another show, but he's doing his own thing. And, well, I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of Comic Run with Tiffany. We're gonna pretty much cover a lot of things today. I have a special guest that you also know.
Oh yeah, you've seen me from Undercity Chaos, Chaos After Dark, Comics After Dark. What? I remember, this is the first time I do it with you. I've done, what was that other one we did over there? With Bean.
With Bean?
Everything Bagel. Everything Bagel, that's life.
Thinking about a different bean.
Oh, no, no. No. There was someone, who else? There was something about your mother, How I Met Your Mother podcast that I was so lost the whole time. I still haven't seen a single episode, so there was that one. So it's, life has been busy, and this feels like it's like you slow down. Like if you had like a really rough day and ran like a marathon, this feels like you're getting in the hot tub with, like, you know, candles. This is what it feels like. You're like, oh, my God. Like, it feels
right
good.
Now you're in a bath with candles surrounded.
Yeah, this is, like, Chinese parlor getting massage moment for me. It's like, oh, my God. Like, this is so good to slow down and enjoy yourself for a minute and, like, just relax your way through it. Not for me, no. For me, it's really, like, stress relieving. I love it. I'm loving this.
And you're also going to be reviewing some of your favorite comics as well.
I'm doing a series review. It's not even a comic review. It's like a whole series review, which I think if I ever come back, it'll be like for the same reason. Like, I'm just going to cover front to end, not a single issue. Just like, I'll just give you the lowdown on the whole thing. Yes. The whole, not just the whole trade, like the whole series. Beginning from first issue to the last issue they published. I got you.
It's hard to review every single issue. Sometimes it's like, I'll just come back to it once finished. And
I know. And it's just like, I mean, I haven't had any like passes for a while. Like I just bought all the books, you know? So it's also like a money thing. It's a lot of things.
Well, buying comics, it does tend to like...
It adds up.
It adds up a lot.
You have to really stick to trades and like stay there to like manage yourself. But you know, that's the thing about you guys. You know, you guys make money too the hard way, and we're gonna tell you how to spend it or where you may, you should, or shouldn't. You know.
But then it's also good to get like the single issues if you love the story because you get the awesome variants as well.
I wouldn't even. It's not even the variants. It's like you're up to date. It's like. It's like you're not that guy. You're not that guy who watches Walking Dead on Netflix. Like you keep up on it.
Me too, but who watches The Walking Dead still?
I haven't either. Really?
Ever since Glenn got his head bashed in, like the whole season just went down after that.
I think that was the last episode I saw.
It just went like, it was bad after that. So I stopped continuing from there.
Did you see Solo movie?
I did.
You already did a review, huh?
Yeah, I already did a review. I saw it twice.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One in regular, because when I first saw it in theater, I was like, man, I should have watched this in 4DX.
I did.
The movement.
Oh my God, I saw Alien Covenant in 4DX, and I thought it was kind of like, it was so whatever. In fact, when I told my parents, like, oh, the chairs will occasionally move, and you'll occasionally hear like a hiss. Or something, but like when we saw it in 4DX, it was like a ride the entire time. Yeah. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, that heightened Solo. And I mean, one thing I loved, I mean, with was it Rogue One? There was like, oh, look, the guys from the cantinas, or oh, look, it's Tarkin, or oh, look, it's the Death Star. It was so much banking on other movies.
Yeah.
And this one, there were so many original characters, and like whether they were good or not, I'm glad they went that route with like. Because that was the only thing that had me suspenseful, because I already know Chewie's going to make it. Yeah. I know Lando's going to make it. I know Han's going to. It's these other guys that I don't know whether they're going to make it or not. You know, like, did they die or did they just split their own ways?
And Kira.
No Empire.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing I love. The Empire stuff was kept to such a minimum.
Right? And it was funny because you hear the song, but it was kind of uppity, like a jingle.
Yeah.
Before they went to super dark Imperial.
Like, the last thing you ever saw was, like, that Star Destroyer in the nebulas, and I was, and it was just so minimal because it's always about the Empire and they're so clearly the bad guys, and I really wanted to see something not there. And for that, thank you, Ron Howard. I still don't know how I feel about that weird droid. The droid was just like
L3.
The robot abolitionist.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is
free droids and whatnot.
Okay, here's the thing, because the way it was written, I didn't know if they were paying tribute to like all these social justice warriors, mm-hmm. or if they were making a parody of it, because it was so written in such a gray area, and I was like, are they making fun of these people or are they tributing them? Like, I couldn't tell. And I didn't even know how to feel about that character. I felt like with the same thing with them.
It was like they're trying to make a connection of how things are now.
Yeah.
Like their own, like.
No, it's cool. That's cool. I respect that.
Trying to make that connection with.
In a weird way, like they have like the little inhibitor, little like chips, and I was like, okay, well, why would you just not build the droid without free will, and then you're done.
Right.
You're like, why is
why
all
do you want a personality? I guess.
To quote someone else, it's like slavery with extra steps.
Wow.
I was like, that's all it felt like. There was moments where I was lost. I was like, well, why would they do that?
What do you think of the actor that played Han Solo? I thought he was like kind of like whatever, because I'm like, oh, you're not Han
I mean Solo. The same thing. I'll say the same thing, like I'm glad he
dry.
I wish you I'm glad he didn't go the Harrison Ford way.
Yeah.
like you can't be Harrison Ford, be yourself, and he did that. So there was so much that like I really wish that like that things I like maybe weren't executed well, but I'm glad they took those directions. Same thing with like episode 8. Like, I'm so glad they didn't meet anyone's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it was written and produced and directed by the same guy. It was like, you know, there's no question of whose vision it was. It was his. But I'm really glad that he went his own route. Like, that he just did his own thing, that maybe he didn't maybe perform it well or didn't write it well, but I'm really glad he did the way he went. So
okay, I mean, he wasn't. I felt like Donald Glover stole the show.
I loved him. I was more excited for him because I mean, Han's been in a lot of movies, and you know, Lando. Lando was in
like
Lando was like in like 1.5.
Yeah.
So this was more
like 5 minutes of screen time, pretty much.
Yeah. I think with like same thing like with Snoke's, like I felt he just got hyped up. And then
yeah, I thought, like, that's it, you're just gonna kill him off.
Remember when he was so hyped and then he died?
Because they made him like that big ass hologram, like he's a giant thing. And
yeah,
he's
average.
Yeah, as big as your fucking head, but like that's it. He didn't really survive.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something, speaking of the original guy who got hyped up and then died, Darth Maul came back. I remember
because of like the animated series.
Which I heard, everybody's telling me that like, you have to watch Rebels to understand. I was like, okay, I guess it must be good.
Yeah, people told me about it. I've been wanting to watch that, but like, there's just so much to catch up on.
It's insane. I just bought the entire Swamp Thing New 52 trades, and I mean, I'm gonna gradually try to knock them all out, but
yeah.
I'm so busy, and it's always somebody calling me or somebody wanting something or something at work, or I have to travel.
Can I ask you to come on the show then?
No, God, no. When you asked me, and this was, you know, since we can't, if you guys can't see this, but it was a while ago when she asked me, and it's just been so busy. And
schedules been conflicting each other. So.
For so long. So many stupid things have happened, but
I'm excited about this. These trades that you've been wanting to tell me about.
Yeah, you know, I actually just wanted to ask if you had read it, and that's how this started. I was like, have you read Sandman by any chance? Like,
nope.
It's kind of those like Watchmen level things where like everybody raves and it's like, this is a must read, because I've been getting hammered about the series for like 5 years, and I just blew through it because I was so hooked, and I bought like all the tie-ins, like the spin-offs. and, you know, the characters got their own series or like their own novels, and I went through all of them just because I was so enamored in it.
But we'll get to those.
Yeah, we got news, right?
So, yeah, so we've got some news, so let's get into that right now. Okay, first on our news, what'd you think of the Bumblebee trailer? The new Transformer prequel movie.
Okay, you know, I think since we just got off talking about Star Wars, there's so many characters. Like, I like how they kept it to, like, you know, you saw Lando, Chewie, Han.
Mm-hmm.
No, we narrowed it down. And I think Transformers is the same thing. Once I started really getting to the franchises of Nando, and it was just like, he was like, oh, you know, this character's good. Then it was like so much. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, never really being into it that much.
I knew about the cartoon.
Yeah, and I knew, like, the main guys. There's Optimus. There's, like, the Decepticon, you know. But it exploded into, like, Dinobots and this and that. And
when I saw Dinobots, I was like, mm-hmm.
It got so...
Actually, like, the third one. I can't remember the third one. Was that the one where the dinosaurs come in?
I stopped so long ago.
And the second one was and then the other one...
There was that weird one where...
And I was like, I don't want...
Wasn't that weird one where Megan Fox got fired?
The sword or something like that, right? I don't know. Yeah. Megan Fox got fired.
Then she came back, I think. I don't know.
I stopped watching them because I was like...
Geez. She came back because of Ninja Turtles. That's why she came back.
Yes.
Okay, no. I think if it was kind of like X-Men, like, God, you know, there's not even no Avengers. It was just X-Men. And how many characters were in there? You know, it's...
Yeah, because those movies are terrible and they still haven't, like...
But I liked when they narrowed it down to just one character, like just Wolverine. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 3 tries, but, you know... But they got it. Yeah, but this is the thing I love about Logan. It was just one guy. And I think with Bumblebee, you know, from what I see, I don't even see a single Decepticon.
No, not that we know of.
No, I mean, obviously there's going to be a villain.
He's obviously fighting someone, but they're not showing it in the trailer.
No.
But Haley Steinfeld, who's playing Charlie Watson, who's like Bumblebee's new owner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just telling Bumblebee.
And I'm just saying it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to die.
Everyone or somebody. She's... Well, obviously, because, you know, his next owner is Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. She's going to die. You heard it here first.
Right?
And
they may do a trilogy, because apparently... Like,
I hope it stays, like...
Hollywood has been all into about trilogies. And,
like, I mean, if it's like Wolverine, then yeah. We'll get 2 sucky ones, and the third one will be, like, Oscar-nominated and all that. The Western movies.
At the end of it, you'll see Shia LaBeouf finding the car with his dad.
An old man Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, old man Shia LaBeouf.
Reading the, like, reading Transformer comics, like, that's not how it was. It's like, Transformers, were they even real?
Right? And, like, they have some interesting actors. I mean, they have John Cena that's going to be in it. I like John Cena. He's pretty, he's a funny guy. He looks like a fun guy to hang out with.
Most people in the WWE seem like fun guys.
They have Steven Schneider, and he's from, Broad City? And they have a couple of other people, but...
No, don't get me wrong. I'm always open to fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If a movie looks like it's gonna suck, there's times I give it a chance anyways. I mean, you know...
I thought, like...
We saw Fantastic Four together. We saw Gem together.
What Gem?
I still have that on Blu-ray. I still love it.
I like Gem.
But there's just things I'll always give.
Only 2 in the theater for opening night.
But it's like, I like giving that stuff new. Like, I like giving these people, like, new, you know, I'll always say that you're never going to get new ideas and new movies and new original stuff if you don't support it. Because I always hear some people, oh, I just fire sticked it. I was like, just go watch it in the movies.
But aren't we also, like, reliving the 90s because we're getting, like, all these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, I just watched, like, I've been supporting A24 Productions. No, they put out It Comes at Night. I love that one. They pulled out a Ghost Story with Casey Affleck. They just did Lady Bird, if you haven't seen it.
I saw that.
It was really good, right? And so this studio is putting out all these indie stuff. It's low budget. It's probably like $10 million, like, a movie.
Yeah.
But they're great. And that's the thing, like...
Well, I didn't think I was going to see solo movie. I was like,
Yeah.
I had to wait a couple weeks, but then, like, I was at home. I came home early that day, and, like, I was just looking at my movie pass, because I have a movie pass.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I saw, like, in my, like, the nearby theater, and it's all like, oh, you can e-ticket, so you can just get your ticket now and get your seat.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to go near the theater to purchase my ticket. And so I'm like, oh, so the movie starts in 5 minutes. I guess.
Oh, no. I went...
pretty much free.
My parents were... I will say, I had a day off, which is rare. Mm-hmm. Friends like, what do you want to do? I was like, you guys want to watch Solo? I don't kind of want to watch it. I'll tell you know what? I'm going to watch it. You guys can come or not come. Yeah.
Expectations for it. I was like, all right.
Yeah, see, I kind of, especially after hearing it has like 3 rewrites or directors or God knows what. They're like, it's
forever for this movie to
come. It was like a Suicide Squad level of disaster. You know, and for what it came out, it was good. And I think with Bumblebee 2, I really hope a lot of people watch it and just... But it'll always be weird, because I think with Deadpool, when the first came out and everybody watched it, it's like, oh, this just means that people like R-rated movies. I was like, no. It's not that. It's like, that's not the message you're trying to send.
Actually an
R. It's a good movie. Yeah, like... And same thing with Logan. I don't love Logan because it's an R-rated movie. But it was kind of like, you know, like, especially been a fan with it since the 90s. 20 years have gone by. It's not just that. It's like, okay, if you watched it in the 90s when it came out, that's like almost like over 20 years ago.
Wait, the first X-Men?
Yeah, the animated series.
Oh, yeah. Well, the animated series cartoon.
Yes. So I grew up with that. That was over 20 years ago. And I think with Logan, but that's the thing I love about Logan. It's like, you know, we got old and you see Logan get old. And it kind of like, I kind of connected with this guy because it's been like, what, 17 years of movies with him. And it kind of reflected that getting old feeling. Right. And it had like such a great feel to it. It narrowed it down to like Logan and like maybe 2 other mutants.
Yeah. But it's funny, if you watch the first X-Men, I'm like, oh my god, look how baby he was.
I know, right? And this one, he's so old. But I really love that feel it gave me. It's just like, it narrowed it down. It's like, this is not going to be a cameo. It's not about post-credits. It's just a good movie. Let's do it. So with Bumblebee, I really hope that's the direction we're going. I guess I'm more excited that No, I don't care. See, that's the thing I was saying. It's like, I hope we don't send a mixed message. You know, like, because I didn't love Logan because it was R-rated. I love it because it was a great story about like, you know, leaving this life and what you're leaving behind. And I think it's like an overall great theme.
And he realizes about like what life really is.
Oh yeah, you ever see the Wolverine, the movie before it?
Yeah.
Where like that girl's like, I see your future, you die with your heart in your hands.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little girl.
Little girl.
I know, I was like, oh my god.
I
did too.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
And when she gave me that speech from that movie, Shane.
Fucking Shane. I hate that Western movie.
Oh.
That's annoying. That's fucking annoying.
Okay.
I only know about that movie because my dad's so into Westerns.
Oh my god. I see it.
John Wayne and shit like everywhere.
And it's, but I think like, you know, I think the message I would want to send, it's like, there's so many Transformers and, you know, you're going to narrow it down to one guy and we're going to get to know this guy. Because, you know, the whole time, Bumblebee was a good star in the movie, but it was like, but there's a million Decepticons.
Because he was pretty much like your Michelangelo.
Yes.
Fancy character.
Yeah.
You loved him so much.
Unless you.
He's kind of innocent, like.
Unless you're like an IT guy somewhere and you watch Ninja Turtles, you're like, Donatello's my guy. Right?
That's how I see him as like,
yeah.
Character.
I like the idea that there's only one guy. I think if it'd be easy.
Focuses more.
Well, maybe because I'm just a casual guy. Like, I don't know everything. So for me to only focus on one guy and new characters, and we're all meeting these characters for the first time, I feel like I'm on the same ride with everybody.
Well, I think this is also like, it's going to be explaining more like there.
Yeah.
And then it's probably towards like the end, or I don't know if they're gonna do trilogies or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because you know how they ended, like,
oh, yeah,
it's gonna come back.
Because you know with Infinity War, like I loved it, but admittedly, if I had not seen every other Marvel movie, I'd be so lost. Like I feel it's one of those movies you'd have had to have invested time to have the feelings and the emotion they wanted you to have.
So watch the original Transformer movies.
But like, I feel like this is the better part of it. That if I wanted to feel like you don't have to have watched those movies. Like, you can just watch this movie and it's a good movie. So that's the biggest hope that I have.
That's how it's portraying as trailer. Like, she finds this car and then you're going to know more about this character. And then you're probably going to bring all the other Transformers later on.
And you were telling me about these characters and you were telling me about this actress. There's some A-listers in there.
Yeah. Hayley Steinfeld. She was an Academy Award nominee, I think, for True Grit.
That's good.
One of her first major roles.
And I love that. I love these roles. So, stoked. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm actually stoked for a Transformer movie. I will go out and watch this.
All right. Let's see. Our next news. Okay. Let me see. Since you are a DC Reader fan.
Yes.
How do you feel about this? Jared Leto, who played Joker in Suicide Squad, is going to have his own standalone film for Joker.
Okay. Well, besides, honestly, comic book-wise, there's very few, like, I would say, like, the Killing Joke is, like, this is...
They're just using that same character that he portrayed in Suicide Squad, that Joker.
Yeah, see, like, when I read Killing Joke, that's probably the only memorable, like... non-Batman, like, I would say, like, if people say it's one of the great Batman stories, I feel like it's like the great Joker story, because it really focuses Killing Joke.
Oh.
And it really focuses on him. I think with, like, Joker felt so forced into Suicide Squad for me. I could have really lived without him.
Yeah, like, I felt like he was only in it for a couple, like,
he was trying to establish a whole universe. Yeah. But like, I think like 95% of everybody there was Batman related.
Yeah.
Like, they're really trying to bank on that guy. Like, oh, it's Harley Quinn, it's Killer Croc, it's Slipknot, it's Diablo, it's fucking... God, who else? Deathshot.
Yeah.
You know, Rick Flag. You have Katana, who was just... Katana was not a bad choice, considering she was just in Arrow and what's that other show, Beware the Batman? Like, she was getting her time to shine. She was in The Outsiders. So, for her, it kind of came at a good time. I was reading her miniseries, too. Like, with Joker getting his own standalone, I mean... With this particular Joker? You know, what can I say? It's hard. You ever fuck up, and it's just like, you fuck up with somebody, and, you know, it's just like, damn, like, this is the part where
this
it's... This is the part where you say...
has been doing a lot.
Yeah, this is the part where you're like...
Superman, and then, like...
Yeah, they're trashing my favorite stories. I think sometimes this feels hard to say sorry when you know you fucked up, so you just keep doing it.
Just give them the middle finger even more.
Yeah, they're like, let's
we're already thinking this, just write it out.
No, yeah, I feel like at this point, let's like, just keep it going. It's like, one of these is going to hit. Like, I had fun during Wonder Woman. Like, don't get me wrong.
I liked Wonder Woman.
I had so much fun.
A decent-ass story.
It was fun.
It was just like, oh... Like, fuck, oh, your mom's named Martha, too? Let's be best friends now. We're on the same team because both our moms named Martha. It's like, what the fuck was that about?
Oh, God, have you seen the extended edition?
I don't want to watch
it. I saw it, but it was just, like, it confused me so much more. Like, especially with that African girl. Like, she has, like, her own little side story. And then, like, but I got even more confused. The desert story makes a little more sense.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's explained more. It's been years since I watched it. I actually let someone borrow it, and they just never cared to get it back.
You're like, you keep...
It's not like it's like, you know, it has my special edition Blu-ray, and I still didn't even give a shit. Like, I was like, oh, I don't... It's so much more extra stuff, but a lot of it is like, okay. Yeah, you know, it's... You find out that the reporter was Jimmy Olsen, and I was like, oh, I guess. Sure, I was like... Not. He's like, we weren't going to do anything good with him. Let's just kill him off, like, in the first minute. How could you? I know, and like it was weird because I defended Man of Steel. I was like, it's a rough start.
It was a really long movie,
you know what? I'm gonna take it a little bit more back. I feel like a lot of this was Christian Bale's fault.
Why? Why is that?
Because he was so into his character, and I don't think he wanted to do it.
It's hard to.
He didn't want to. No, the thing about him is that in his contract. You know, he loved Batman. He wanted to do Batman. But he said, like, there's no Justice League. no Robin. Like, he, like, had so many stipulations. He's like, you know, it ends when it ends. No, it's not gonna, he's not gonna, like, you know, be saved by Green Lantern and go off to fight somebody. Like, it's none of that shit.
Well, maybe
he literally said, like,
read, like, some of, like, the scripts that they had, like, hey, we want to go this route. He's like, fuck that noise.
No, you know, since the beginning, he said he didn't want to do all this other shit. So I think, like, that kind of hampered it, because when you did Hulk and, like, Iron Man, the first one,
yeah,
it was, like, open-ended, like, oh, you know, we could be part of a bigger universe, and it was, but I felt like he closed the doors early, like, and it's weird to build a universe when you're trying to do Green Lantern. It was, like, really was the first try, because you have Green Lantern, and you have a, what's that girl from Suicide Squad, Amanda Waller's in the movie, and you tell they're trying to build a universe, and it tanks. And they're like, God, we have to.
So
same thing with Jonah Hex.
Figure out, like, their writers.
Yeah, and it's like, we want to introduce Batman into the story world, but we can't because Christian Bale said he's not doing it. So we'd be running two Batman movies side to side, and it wasn't gonna work out. So they had to wait for Batman to, like, run its course. So I feel like Christian Bale kind of fucked that up. Like, as much as people love him, I was like, that part of his contract means that, like, by the time Batman got into the story, they were gonna have to figure out something quick.
Yeah.
And so Ben Affleck, like, bless his soul, you know,
but then also,
he's great.
Even, like, Christian Bale said, like, after when he stopped doing Batman, he regrets it.
Yeah, time travel back and, like, change your mind.
You want to do that stupid Exodus movie, and it totally bombed.
I think Christian Bale would have pulled off a great Justice League Batman, but, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Batman. I mean, like, Ben Affleck.
Imagine erasing Dark Knight Rises and having him do Justice League instead. I saw Dark Knight Rises once, and I never saw it again.
I saw it a couple times.
I honestly, like, to this day, Batman Begins is my favorite. And as far as Joker goes, like, again, like, at this point,
I just don't like...
I'm writing it out.
The way he played it was just like, yeah, I know he's trying to be crazy, but
yeah,
like... the fucking tattoos and shit. I get the messed up teeth because he gets punched in the fucking face so many times with, like, Batman.
Okay, that's another thing that's another thing I just don't fucking like. It's so much backstories told through interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, at this point, there's so much backstory just told through interviews, like, how did Robin die? Was I really Robin? Which Robin was it? Like, what happened? And it's like, there's
even, like, with the
yeah,
Dark Knight Rises, like, oh, just Gordon Levitz, he's like, his real name is Robin. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm like, and then it just stops right there.
You know what would have been great? If he has, like, if the Robin outfit comes out, but it's, like, the old school pixie shorts one. And he's like, oh, no. It's like, not doing that one.
Well, they showed...
or, like, Nightwing or something.
Yeah. Well, they showed in BVS Robin's.
Yeah, the Tim Drake uniform.
But that's all we got.
But it's, like, it's literally not even explained. There's so much not explained.
It's, like, so where's the next
one? Right? There's, like, generic German villain in, and what was it, Wonder Woman? It's like, oh, Captain America already did World War II. It's like, wasn't there another war before that one?
World War I?
So, yeah, that one. Let's do that one. There's, like, a generic German villain. He's like, yes.
Yes, I'm going to stink bomb country.
It's like, oh, we just want to surrender. You know, just let the war be over. He's like, no, none of that. And then it was that other phrase. That British guy was, like, the villain.
Oh, the guy from Harry Potter.
Ares, yeah. Like, the god of war.
Yeah, that was so random. But then, like, it was... when I was watching, I'm like, okay, he's the villain. But then when they gave him his backstory and they show him, like, all buff, I'm like, that's gross.
I did go out and get the Wonder Woman Earth One novel right afterwards. And that's... oh, it's like when you have, like, a shitty food and then you, like, shit it out. And then you're like, I need to eat something good. And that's, like, the good stuff you eat.
So, regrets.
I liked Wonder Woman. But I felt like the Wonder Woman Earth One was, like this... if you haven't read the Earth One series, it's like all brand new reimaginings of the character, and I just loved it so much. Like a fresh take, a fresh everything, and I'm really excited to see where they go with it. But as far as Joker goes, I mean, God, I know I've already bought into all these movies. I'll probably buy into this one. I'll go see it. Now, am I going to like it or not?
Yeah. How badly it sucks.
Yeah, you know, it, like, Wonder Woman got me by surprise, and Justice League wasn't too bad. And you can definitely tell when... What's that guy's name? Josh? No. Who took over?
For Wonder Woman?
No, for Justice League. Whedon. Josh Whedon.
Yes, Whedon, yeah.
So you can tell when he took over. You can tell the funny parts. And you're just like, oh, this is something Josh Whedon would do. So it had like...
Whatever.
It had the little fun parts that I really liked. And I was like, it might have been a little rushed. But you got a lot of cool stuff done. I don't know if Steppenwolf was like the greatest first villain to run.
That's him? He's pretty puny. I thought like a big...
It's Darkseid's uncle, right? So it's like... Are you going to go straight to Darkseid next? Because that's another thing I don't want to see. I don't want to see Darkseid. Not now, at least. It's not that I don't want to see Darkseid. It's like, this is another Justice League movie. I just don't want to deal with Apocalypse and the Parademons. It's like, have Dr. Destiny or Felix Faust or have someone else. Like, just go in a totally different direction. Bring a Green Lantern in there. I feel like Green Lantern's like...
So they're working on bringing in Green Lantern.
Yeah, I really need to see a Green Lantern. He's such a fun character. Like, all iterations of him. Like, I think I grew up with, like, Jon Stewart because of the Justice League cartoon. But really, I love all of them. I mean, I even liked Hal Jordan and Ryan Reynolds to some extent. It's fun. I think a lot of people, like, don't get me wrong. I think that's another thing. Like, when Batman came out with Christian Bale, and it was this very dark, gritty... And they took a lot of the mobster characters from, like, Year One that Frank Miller wrote. So it had, like, a really dark feel to it. But it's Batman. Like, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Hollywood got the wrong message. Like, oh, all superhero movies need to be nitty-gritty. And that's what people want. And that's and then you get Fantastic Four. You're like, no, like, this isn't what we wanted at all.
Don't want that. Fantastic.
Yeah, like, no, don't get me...
Creating, I don't know, since now Disney bought Fox, there's rumors.
Oh, 20th Century?
Yeah.
The merger has to be approved. I mean...
Who knows what's going to happen. Maybe we'll get another Fantastic Four. But Disney now can do whatever they want once all that shit goes.
I've worked for them a lot, and they have money to throw around.
Oh, they have tons of money.
I went to the premiere of Solo.
Really?
Yeah, I installed.
Oh, fun.
Oh, God. Like, Disney is one of those clients that, like, I work year round.
I work at Disneyland. I know what they made every day and shit.
Oh, we do staging for them all the time. It's, you follow me on my Instagram, you'll find scoops on my Instagram story.
Yeah, you worked on, like, the Star Wars
one. I work on everything Star Wars. I work on everything Star Wars. Everything, God, like, every release. It's at the premiere.
Nice.
No. To some extent, yeah.
But you don't get to see them, the movies?
I saw episode 8.
With them when you were working there?
Yeah, I did the projection booth.
Oh, nice.
That one was...
Like, can I do projection again?
Oh, it's fun. It's so much fun. I think the rewards are fun. But, man. Have I missed any DC movies? I think Justice League was the last one, right?
Yeah.
You know...
Yes. Yeah.
And we got what?
Well, for me, like, I didn't...
Well, what's next?
Oh, wait.
No, yeah, it is. Yeah, that's how much we love it. Then we're like, oh, did they make another one? I'm more excited, like, walking into Target or Walmart and I see, like, this new animated direct-to-DVD cartoon. And I love those.
Yeah.
I got the Justice League Dark one and I got the Batman Harley Quinn. It was so fucking good. Have you seen that one? It's like the original Batman the Animated Series characters and voices and director.
There's also like a Ninja Batman Animated Series.
I got that one.
I heard it's really good.
I got both of them. I got it. They're in my room. I should just bring them over next time.
I don't have DVD players. We just stream stuff here.
You don't have a Blu-ray player?
I don't think so. Oh, wait, that's a Blu-ray player. I believe, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It says DVD. I don't think that one holds Blu-ray.
You can have like an Xbox One or PS4 or PS3.
Yeah, we do, but we don't use DVDs.
I use Blu-rays. I don't even buy DVDs anymore.
I don't even buy DVDs. When I get a DVD, it's probably like a gift.
I got a 4K as a gift to my sister.
I know. My last DVD I got was a gem movie that you gave me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's I watched it on Blu-ray several times. It's
like, this music's catchy as hell.
I listened to that soundtrack so many times.
Sally will never get a part 2, though.
No, it's not. Oh, well.
Yeah. But next on our list. I just showed you the trailer for
the Lego Batman
movie 2.
Oh, that's right. Lego movie. Lego movie 2.
And you said you only saw partial of the first one? You need to finish the first one.
It's great. It was actually like, I remember like, I had nothing else to watch and all the other movies I already watched. And I was like, I guess I'll give this a chance. And I think it was 2016. I was coming home from Colombia. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember being sad as my plane landed and then like they cut off.
Oh.
And it just turns blue. It's like, all right, start putting your seatbelts, like your trays up. And I was like, no. I was like, really got devoted into this. But
you need to buy this DVD.
I know. I don't even care. Like, I don't feel like it's something you need to know the whole story of. The whole thing was, God, you know, I'll say this. It's one of those movies I had the lowest expectations for, and it was just amazing.
It's amazing. And then with Lego Batman happening, and that was freaking amazing.
I love that. To every scene I wasn't ready for, I was like, no, no. They call me Dick. I was like, oh, yeah, kids. You know, kids are mean. I was like, what the fuck? Every line caught me by surprise. And I had so much fun with that movie. I saw it in theaters, too. And I got that one on Blu-ray, too, right away. It's one of those favorites that I always keep with me. Excited. Excited for Lego 2.
Right?
Instant buy.
Go, like, can I get a black coffee and then, like...
25 sugars.
Like,
to the hand, the world is still sweet.
So you're getting the same voices that you all love, Elizabeth Banks and
Chris Pratt. Yeah.
They reprise their role. So, it's fucking, I'm excited for it because
it's hard not to be.
Yeah, and then they also added this, like, music from Beastie Boys, so they even made it more amazing.
Yes, I love that.
Oh my god. So it's really good. If you haven't seen the trailer, check it out. It's even on my Instagram that you can find it at comicrealm_WTiffany, TiffaniNI, and you'll see the trailer there.
Well, it's not strictly comic related, but, you know, it's which we want to hear about.
I also cover pop culture.
It is pop culture, and that's what I love about it.
And you always see, like, comic characters in the Lego movies as well, so.
There's some kind of weird legal loophole where they can just really bring in anyone they want.
They just have to pay a lot of money for it.
It's a weird loophole, but I think they have to pay as much.
The first one, I'm pretty sure they had to pay a pretty penny for it, but the second one, I'm pretty sure they're like, yeah, promote our shit more, you know?
I have to look it up, but I don't think they actually have to pay as much as you think they do. No, it's kind of like...
It's just like...
Right. Remember when they did that, some guy did that one weird restaurant, Shitty Starbucks?
Yeah.
So it's like a kind of weird parody loophole where you don't actually have to give them a lot of money or any money at all.
It's like a parody thing, like, oh, let me use them. But they're not using likenesses because they're using Legos.
Yeah, so basically they can actually bring in anyone they want.
Which they can because Lego has covered so much of
and that's
French franchise in the world.
So, but I'm also glad that they're being honest about it, you know, because then you have people like, all right, no, we just talked about them, but Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, the very opposite.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's, like, the Fair Use Act. Like, let's say I write a book. It's a hit. I die. Maybe 80 years later, anyone can just write anything they want on my character without paying for it.
Yeah.
Like Mary Shelley Frankenstein or Dracula. Anyone can do a vampire story or Frankenstein story if they want to. Because those characters, because the people who wrote them have been long dead. And anyone has the free right to just build anything they want on it. And
I mean, like, the movie Queen of the Damned, the book was not even like that at all.
Yeah.
Just a...
Well, but basically, anyone who's dead, you can use their work afterwards and build your own. Like, the Bible. You can make Passion of the Christ. You don't have to track down the original writer and pay him any rights.
Well, they keep updating the Bible anyway.
Yeah. So, it's like a lot of these things. Like, if you want to write, like, Frankenstein meets, like, I don't know, the Power Rangers. You don't have to pay. You don't.
I mean, they had TMNT meets Power Rangers, which is great.
But here's the thing: you don't have to pay anyone for Frankenstein, because that guy's been long dead, and it's a fair use act.
Yeah.
Disney makes their money that way because they're using stories that have already been told, mm-hmm. like Cinderella or Snow White.
Yeah, because they didn't write those.
But they flip it.
Jensen or something.
But then they'll flip it and they say you can't write anything based off these characters, even though the writers are dead.
Yeah.
So Disney kind of plays the evil card to that.
Disney is evil.
It is. Oh my god, how did we get here?
Things.
What were we talking about that we got to Disney being evil?
Lego.
Oh. Legos on the assign. They're being a little more honest, but I was like, yeah, we're not paying you, but we're having fun with it.
Lego story at Disney.
Oh my god, one of my friends worked there and just left, and I didn't get to visit her.
Oh, you didn't get your free Legos then?
No, not the Lego store. It was like the Rainforest.
Well, the Rainforest Cafe. They closed that shit down.
Yeah, she was one of my waitress friends.
That's a cool restaurant.
I know. I'll miss it. You know, I never went. I'll miss all the stories she used to tell me. Oh my god. Lego. Excited. I'm very excited.
Oh yeah. It's pretty awesome. Next news is Kelly Marie Tran.
I didn't know the name. You have to explain to me who she was.
She is from the Star Wars Last Jedi. I forgot her name.
Rose.
Yeah, Rose. She played Rose. And sadly, she canceled her social media because of online bullying and harassment. Because of her character that she played.
The internet is a very, very mean
place.
Honestly, between you and me, like, if I was a famous comic book writer and say, you want to write Star Wars? I'd be like, nah, I'm alright.
True. But then if...
And that's sad because...
If it, like, one of the casting crews came up to you and be like, hey, we're doing a new Star Wars movie. You want to be in it?
Imagine being told you're getting a lead in it.
Right? If you're,
she's not a minor character. She's there to stay.
Yeah.
She's not here.
You're going to be one of the main characters. Would you go for it? Fuck yeah. I don't care if the fucking character sucks. I'm going to say yes.
Benicio Del Toro, you're getting way more screen time than that guy. Right. Insanely amount more. But oh, people.
Getting a lot more paid because it's Benicio Del Toro.
And yes.
He's also in freaking Marvel as well. So he's making bank cuts.
Yeah, he is. And that's the thing.
But I wouldn't even care. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna be in a Star Wars film. How many times can you even?
I would say she's not an Asian girl in Star Wars because technically there's no Asians there.
Yeah, they have their own different like
Terran species thing.
Yeah, so we can't say what she really is.
That was one weird thing that happened with, like, I think, like, it was a Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. They just kind of jumped the guy from what was it? Who wrote Solo? It's like, is Lando pansexual? And the guy was like,
Oh, yeah, because he was so, like...
He was just...
So, just, like, sad and broken because L3... Spoiler. Died. Well, not really a spoiler if you haven't seen it. It's been out for a long while now.
But I feel like the guy just got ambushed. Like, he's like, is he pansexual? And, like, do you want to tell the Huffington Post, like, no, he just straight don't like girls. Like, ew, fuck off. Like, you know, can you imagine the backlash that would happen?
Right.
So I feel like he just said, like, yeah, sure, whatever.
I wouldn't even care.
Like, he was like, oh, he might have fucked around with a robot. I was like, all right, well, have you seen Blade Runner? There's hooker replicants.
Well, there's people, like, fucking machinery anyways.
Yeah. I guess that makes you pansexual. But I feel like they made such a huge deal out of it. Like, there were so many articles. And then, like, when it got to the movie, I was like, that was it?
Yeah. I think because they read into more, because you know how L3 is like, yeah, Lando's all in love with me. And they're like, Kira's all like, could that work? She's like, oh, it could work.
You know what? I think a lot of people forget that when we watched the first Star Wars, I think the reason I fell in love with this, it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. And I feel like with Han Solo, even in the first movie, so you think she likes me? I think she would like me. It's like, what should I do? Like,
yeah.
And it's weird because in some sense, I'm like, it felt like fun, but also relatable. Like, I would do that. Like if I was in a room with a hot chick and we talked a little bit, say about the same subject, and she left and my friend's still there, that's probably something I would do. I'd be like, do you think she likes me? Should I ask her out to dinner? There was so much relatable stuff. You know, and I think, and there's so much stuff that I love about Star Wars. It's just about having fun, mm-hmm. and sometimes not taking it too seriously.
It's a fantasy.
It is.
It's a freaking space opera.
It's people who are doing things I can't do, but that's the reason I'm going.
But like, I think say Star Wars fans are like the worst of people that you could.
Lucas sold his rights.
Yeah.
Lucas sold
to keep the fans happy. Like, I guess. Star Wars fans are the hardest to keep happy.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't. I think I give the director that much credit. I was like, at least, you know, you were like, fuck these guys. I'm doing my thing. And that's that. And I think, you know.
You only do so much, especially on a budget, and how many, like, screen time you have to make build all this, the story that you want all into, like, these 2 hours, you know.
It wasn't the perfect movie. There's a lot of things I didn't like about it, and don't get me wrong, like, but it was a good movie. Same thing with like Han Solo. I don't think it was a bad movie in any weird sense. It might have been kind of
okay. I just expected more from the cast.
Yes,
I expected more of his.
You know what?
He got his name. I'm like, really, a freaking Imperial soldier who says like,
oh, no, actually,
oh my God, that's pretty lame.
I will say this: as far as the Kessel Run, I wish I hadn't seen it. Not because maybe it could have been done better or nothing.
I thought it was like a race or something.
So did I.
But like it was just like a Kessel Run, and it's just like, oh, they had to try to escape.
I liked.
It wasn't much.
I liked the idea.
It's kind of stuck.
But I think that's what was great about it. It's like when someone's cheating on you, but you don't know about it. That's when you're tensed up. You're like, is he or is he not cheating? Then you know. Then it's like over. But I think like that's how I felt about the Kessel Run. It's like I kind of didn't want to know about it. I kind of want. I like the tension.
You always heard about it, so you always fantasize, like, oh, this could be it. Like, it's going to be fucking amazing. Like, an amazing race. Like, I don't know.
Oh, not like space, and, like space rocks and, like, maybe 2 TIE fighters.
Something.
Was it 3? Yeah,
and it was. And then it was just like, oh, they're trying to escape.
And I felt like I never knew if, like, Han Solo did it in the Millennium Falcon. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chewie was there. I don't know who else was there. I don't know what he was smuggling. It was this aura of mystery that made Han Solo cool. He's like,
yeah.
He's like that cool guy at the bar you don't know a lot about, but you wish you did.
Yeah, but like that one guy that always says his stories and he's trying to be like the badass and stuff like all that.
In some ways, I think that movie took something away from me.
It took more of the Han Solo character that we love. Like,
I think before Episode 4, I imagined him to be like cold blooded, like, mm-hmm. like always shot first.
Yeah,
I imagine this guy seeing this.
More badass, but he was more like, he was
always a good guy.
Yeah, he was never like.
But he's like, I'm an outlaw, but he like smiled so much about it. I was like, no, you're not.
Like,
I imagine the real.
More rebellious and stuff.
I imagine this guy would see this girl. It's like, but this is for the rebels. He's like, yeah, well, this is for my bank account.
Yeah,
right. Bye. Like.
Later, peace.
Right, there was so much.
I like how you did with like A New Hope and stuff. He's like, no, I'm leaving. I got shit to do. Bye. But then later on, he comes back at the.
It's like, I love you. He's like,
you
he's like, I love you. He's like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just like.
This one, he's like, I love you. He's like, I love you too, baby.
Just like, we will like abolish all racism here.
Totally knocked down everything that I thought.
It enriched Lando for me. Lando. Lando was enriched for me, but I think there was so much I loved about Han Solo. I love the idea that like of the original where he shot first.
Yeah.
I really love that idea. And here it's like where he shoots Woody Harrelson. Yeah. And that's about it.
That's it.
And there was so much other stuff like, oh, I left the academy because I had a brain.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this.
He was pretty much. Guy in the fucking military is like always questions like, why are we doing this?
No, I get it. You know, the Empire is supposed to be space Nazis, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. You know, maybe.
Why is he questioning it? Why is he just doing the opposite and doing whatever he wants, you know?
Episode 7 kind of made it clear when they did that little weird salute, and I was like, hey. I was like, oh no.
Shit.
And for that, like, I always kind of felt I feel like a big aura of mystery is gone. Sometimes I don't like it explained. You know, actually, there was a Reservoir Dogs game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I think I remember it a long time ago.
And you do the bank robbery. But I think a big part of what made that movie amazing was that you didn't see it.
Yeah.
You just...
You know what went down, you just went
through. You hear different people talking about it. You hear it's supposed to get down. You hear Mr. Orange, or was it Mr. White? It's like, no, you should have seen Mr. Blonde. He went nuts. Like, it was nothing like you'd never seen. And it's so much stuff you imagine.
Yeah.
And
what can you do that's so insane?
And I think a lot of the allure is, like, just gone. Because it spoils the mystery.
Mm-hmm. It does. But then with, like, also back to, Kelly, like,
I think with her,
I don't know why people have to hate on a character
because they're Star Wars fans.
She's just doing her job, you know. It's like she didn't write the script.
Wasn't there like I think years ago there was like a big backlash because some comic book story had a a soldier from the Empire who was actually like an admiral or something who was gay.
So?
And that's the weird thing. And that's the weird thing. It was like, is he flying like rainbow Empire flags everywhere? Like, calm down. And this thing, it was like
confetti everywhere.
Now, was Rose my favorite character?
She wasn't, but she was like a
character fun.
I didn't really hate. I was like,
oh no! I mean, the last minute, I was like, no, Rose, what did you do? Like, yeah. But it's so weird.
You get kind of mad at her, but like, you don't hate her. You don't go.
Oh God, no! Look, I'll even say this: Josh Whedon killed Alien.
Yeah.
For me, Alien Resurrection was garbage.
Oh fuck yeah!
Ron Perlman. And then, who was it? Like, Sigourney Weaver? Who was that other girl? Winona Ryder? Brad Dourif? Yeah. There were so many of my favorite actors, actresses, writers. Yeah. It was...
It's like a
I hate the movie to shit. But it's not like I hate these people.
Like half human alien and shit. She's like, oh, my baby. I'm like, bitch.
Michael B. Jordan fucking... You know, like, he was my favorite part of the last Fantastic Four. I don't hate him.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the movie sucked, but not your fault.
I didn't hate the characters, but like, I didn't hate the actors for playing them.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with this girl. Like,
it sucked.
I think with this girl, it's like, you know what? Like, I feel like it's a new age because these movies aren't being made in the
set. Like, why are you really hating on her? Because, like, she's a brand new character. She's not portraying a beloved character.
I wouldn't punch a guy who's like 7 feet tall at a bar. But if you're behind a computer screen and you can get away with it, I feel like people get emboldened to do it.
Yeah, it's like you...
And that's the sad part. It's like remember that, like... I think you really have to think about this person is... It's like, it's not... You're thinking you're bringing down this million-dollar fucking superstar. It's like, dude, it's like, you realize she's still a human being, right? Like, she's probably some girl freaking out about her acne on screen. You know? She probably has real problems like you do.
And then, like, you're just, like... trying to bring down her confidence and stuff. It's like,
but why?
There's no point to it. It's like, people need to grow up. Like, if you don't like them, you don't like them. But you don't have to go
on. Oh, you know what I tell them? You know what I said when I was in a band? What? And people should talk shit? I'd be like, oh, what's your band doing? Oh, you don't have one. Like, what's your Star Wars movie like? Oh, you don't have one? Oh, you can't even fucking...
Right? Oh, you bought a ticket that was like $12 and you had to go watch it. Like,
you were... Did you even get cast as an extra? No? All right. Like, it's like your opinion...
Stop. All right.
Your $12 is not going to stop this.
Say, like, yeah, you can put your opinion like, yeah, I didn't enjoy the film, but you don't have to go and fucking attack the person who played her character. You
know? This is obviously one of the most downer stories I've heard because... I can imagine her in real life as being like a very vibrant person who just takes selfies at coffee shops or something. Yeah.
Her Instagram, I followed her on Instagram. She was like, oh, he's so happy and stuff. And she just posted positive things. And she was so excited and thrilled about being part of this big franchise. I'm like, who wouldn't be, you know? It's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Just say you were in a Star Wars movie is fucking mind-blowing as it is. Like, fuck, you can put me in the Star Wars movie. I'll do it fucking free. You don't have to pay me. As long as I got some screen time, that'd be cool.
And fucking put me to the Jar Jar Binks movie. I'll fucking do that, too.
Right? I don't care.
I'm an animal, man. I'll fucking do it. I'll be the Empire. I don't give a shit. Like, have my own side story.
Right?
CGI fucking...
Give me the worst character. Like, I'm gonna have the screen time.
Just not the holiday specials. I mean, it's sad because I think, you know, maybe not knowing, you think, oh, this is something fun. I'm going to join a group of people who just want to have fun. And it becomes this nightmare where it's anxiety. And then you have to talk to a psychiatrist or maybe get medication. And I think a lot of people didn't think it through. Or maybe there's just really something wrong with them. We're like, you don't think it through that you're really hurting someone.
It makes them feel better about themselves, apparently. That's like,
but have you ever seen someone try to care, like a mom try to take care of like their like depressed son or something? It's like, you're hurting a lot of people. You're hurting a mom who probably raised a daughter. Can you imagine being a mom and your daughter is like so happy to be in Star Wars and you go visit her and she's like in her bedroom crying and you're trying to like...
You can't do anything about it.
And it's so weird because as her mom, you're trying to like help her out. It's like your baby. There's so much heartlessness, and it's a...
Right? It just doesn't hurt one person. It hurts everyone around them because they, like, what the hell, you know?
And then you have the studio is going to be like, dude, we need you back. Like, who gives a shit what these people say?
Yeah.
And she has to like kind of like woman up and like overcome all this. So I know.
She doesn't
work. No, hell no. Don't fucking give those people that kind of satisfaction. If you keep going, you put these people down. And that's what we need. There's no need for these kind of bullying shit. It's sad.
You're just trying to live a normal life and have a social media like everyone else.
A career.
It's really hard to like to block all those fucking comments and shit. So it's like...
It's a career.
Like...
It, for
your media and stuff. But, yeah, it's just people are shitty and they should really think before they post.
It's... Oh, man. Such a sad subject. We're going to see her in episode 9. She's going to come back. Her and Finn are a thing. It's happening. You know, this is the 1950s. Interracial marriages are okay now. You know? Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, geez, if somebody loves Star Wars that much, why not, right? They're worth a shot.
The CU haters fucking try to write your own story and direct.
How many times do you see creators hate on each other like that much? It's rare, you know. Oh, God.
Yeah, but let's just change that and let's go into...
What are we doing?
Go into our comic book reviews.
Okay, I have not read anything this week.
Okay, I'll start off then and then we'll go into your review.
Okay.
I read Dazzler number 1.
Okay, this is the X-Men.
The X-Men, yeah. And if you don't know Dazzler, she pretty much she could turn sounds into, like, light beams.
Okay.
So, and she's also a singer.
Did she cameo?
Did she cameo?
Like, in one of the X-Men movies, maybe in the background, like Jubilee did?
I don't think so. Because her backstory is she was a 70s disco singer. And she was, like, so popular. Everyone loved her. Everyone came to see her until she finally told the world, like, I'm a mutant. And then, like, she lost all her audience. And she pretty much had to be a backup singer for a band. And color her hair black instead of keeping it blonde. Because, you know, mutants are so hated. But now she's back.
This feels like we're still in that down kind of mood, but whatever.
But now she's back. She has her own...
comic.
She has her own comic right now. She has her own band. She's a lead singer, and she's all about like no hate. Everyone like
is that a new thing?
Everyone equal, like mutants, but this one's like mutants and inhumans, and pretty much inhumans.
Because okay, let's who else has their own band? You had Spider Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Black Canary.
Black Canary's not.
I mean, like as far as comic book characters, we get their own band and shit.
Yeah, but Dazzler always had her own band.
No.
She's
more established. Okay. So everybody's copying Dazzler then. We're getting the OG.
Right? We're getting the OG back Dazzler. So she has her own rock and roll band, and she's having these shows where mutants and inhumans can all be together and there's no hate. So
Oh, that was a thing too, right? In Marvel?
Yeah, she's trying to embody, like, you know, everyone live equally. But, like, I guess mutants have... thing against inhumans.
Yes.
Normal and like, you know, they have their own powers, but they don't really go through the same thing as mutants do.
You know, that's kind of the weird thing I felt with the X-Men and the Avengers movie. It was like, I watched like the X-Men movies and this guy could like wreck, like this kid who just develop his powers, wreck half a desk. It was like, put him in a concentration camp.
Yeah.
And then, like, Avengers wreck half the city. He's like, our heroes.
It's because, I thought about this. It's because X-Men, they had it in their genes and that, like, they didn't have to be, be in those, what's it called? Like, they weren't forced to be injected with these kind of powers. They were just normally born. And humans seem to be, like, threatened by that because, like...
They're an evolution.
They shouldn't be secure.
They're an evolution with the X-Gene.
Yeah, and then, like, Avengers, they didn't grow up... They didn't have that. They were just, like, you know, accidental. Like, they got these things.
Like, Thor's just like, I was born a god.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Right? And Thor's not from Earth.
He's from Asgard.
Yeah.
He had a...
so.
Well, okay, I can see where you're coming with that.
You know, like.
Even the Fantastic Four were an accident.
Yeah, they were accidentally gotten these. I'm
not sure what Ghost Rider did. I guess he sold his souls to the devil or something.
Yeah. So that's how they see it. Like, oh, how dare, like, these mutants.
Well, they're in evolution, right? They're evolving.
Yeah. Have this extra genetic thing. Nope. Where, like.
Before hashtag Killmonger was right,
yeah.
There was hashtag Magneto was right. I was like, you know, he makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you're making him see the bad guy, but, you know, you look at him, I was like, I wouldn't have done things so much differently than that guy. Like, might have gone the same route if I was Magneto.
Yeah, so, like, with Dazzler, she's trying to build a positive environment.
And this is a kickoff issue, right?
Yes. So it's really good. I mean, there's also some little, you know, Easter eggs in there that they haven't fully talked about what's going on. But it's a really good issue, and I think you guys should pick it up. I enjoyed it, and plus I love Dazzler. She's pretty awesome, badass. And she can make light beams sound out of light beams. And, like, if she's really pissed off, she could totally hurt you with those.
It really, honestly, like, even when I saw Squirrel Girl beat Thanos in their little miniseries, it's like, can Squirrel Girl beat Thanos? I was like, anyone can beat Thanos if the writer's good enough. I was like, that's the point of this series, that there's a good writer.
But I like how, like, they're bringing back Dazzler, and, like, she talks about, like, yeah, I was gone because this happened, but now I'm back, and, like, I'm just doing my own thing, and I don't care what other people think, you know? Because, you know, she was pretty much banished from, like, society because she was a mutant. And now she's back. My next one is, I read Boom Studios' Betty's Boop.
Really?
Betty's Boop.
Okay.
And it's pretty much, there's no words in this comic.
It's a silent issue.
It's a silent issue.
I read several.
Yeah. You read it too?
No, I mean, I've read several silent comics before.
And it was so good because it pretty much starts off with this woman. It shows that, like, she lost one of her boobs, but it's pretty much a metaphor of, like, a woman who had cancer. She has no hair. She has to wear a wig. And her boyfriend at the time goes, and she can't really, like, deal with this. And, like,
it's hard.
She's different now, so he pretty much is a little bitch and, like, can't handle her now with just one boob or any of it. Like, he can't accept her. It's like she's totally different, I guess. And so you just go through the emotions of what she's dealing with because...
Lost.
In society, you have to be perfect. You have to have, like, the perfect body and stuff. And, like, people get weirded out because she only has one boob. And she puts, like, an apple as a replacement into her bra. But her job, where she has to be, like, perfect, her boss sees that. It's, like, she tells her, go get, like, pretty much a boob job. She goes, tries to buy a boob, but she's not happy with it. So she pretty much kind of, like...
All right.
Runs away, and she finds these people who are totally different. They're misfits, but they totally own their, like, you know...
What they are.
Yeah, imperfectness. And, like, they tell her to join her, and they're pretty much like a burlesque show.
No.
People. So it's pretty cool. They help her, like, pretty much be comfortable and confident. And it's such a great, like, story. Like, you don't even have to have words to get it, because you get it with this amazing art. And, like, you'll... Sometimes they'll put some words, like, oh, this is Betty Boop. And, like, they'll put, like, music lyrics in there and stuff. So,
oh,
like,
Betty's Boop, I get it now. Sorry.
Boop.
I'm sorry, I'm late to this party.
You'll see this little, you'll see, like, little Easter eggs of Betty Boop doll and then Felix the Cat.
That's dope. Like, those 1930s, yeah.
So, and then, like, they gave her a new wig that's pretty much, like, Betty Boop's, like, copper hair was and stuff.
Twirl.
Yeah. So, it's a really good comic book, and it's really, it's really beautifully done, and just shows, like, women who, like, have gone through this and, like, what their emotions are and, like, how some people don't really, like...
My mother had that.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
I remember that stuff.
So, yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to go through as a family.
Yeah. It's a beautiful story.
It's probably more tough to do it alone.
Yeah. So she loses her loved one, she loses her job, and everything's just going out. Pretty much straight shit until she finds these people who accept her.
No, those things are confident. It's actually weird and important in a certain way, because I think, like, in middle school I felt so, like ragged on and shit, and, like, when I first heard, like, punk rock, it was like, oh damn, like, it was like, I'm not the only one who feels this way. So a lot of this art is really important, because I mean, somewhere out there some girl probably feels the same way.
Yeah, like, some, like,
and they could
cancer, and she had to be, you know,
I think it would, like,
when they just take off.
You just want to know someone like you.
What's it called? Like when they take out your breast.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Hysterectomy? Is that what it is?
I can't remember.
I forgot what it's called, but like, yeah, you're just seeing what like a lot of people go through, and you just see in this beautiful like comic book with this beautiful art, and it's really emotional and really good. I recommend it for anyone, especially like with how society is today. Like everyone has to be perfect. Everyone's social media just shows like the only beautiful edited side, but they don't really show them.
Oh my god! Ever since I started watching a movie in Blu-ray and 4K, I was like, Jesus, everyone has acne.
I don't feel so bad.
No, my god! Like I was watching Lady Bird in like Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And it's just like I was like at first I was like, all right, well it's set in 2002 high school and everybody has acne, but I remember I was looking, I was like, you can see every bit of acne. I remember looking at some of my girl crushes on Blu-ray for the first time, and I was like, oh.
They're just normal people.
Who did I see? James Woods is...
That was your crush?
James Woods looks like... No offense to the guy. He's an actor I respect a lot, but I started seeing him in 4K, and I was like, oh. I was like, bro. Like,
what movie did you see him in 4K? I mean, in Scary Movie, what, 3 or 2? You looked pretty old then.
Yeah, but in 4K, you see the details. Like, the details, you're like, oh, all my God.
Caked on to cover it.
Yeah, you can see it. It's so weird how crystal clear it is. Yeah, you know.
Like when you try to cover like any kind of acne on with makeup, the makeup makes it worse.
You know, it's maybe I am getting old in my 30s, and I remember the little like.
I'm gonna be 30 next week. So.
What are you planning? Yeah. Oh, I gotta get you another birthday card.
The giant birthday card.
What was it last time? It was like some kind of geek gift card. I forgot what it was.
Oh, you think you got me Think Geek? Gift card.
Yes, that thing.
I bought a whole bunch of shit with that.
That's awesome. We'll get you something else.
But, and also my other comic I've read is Rocko's Modern Life number 5.
That's a thing now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so far behind. I'm sorry.
Boom Studios pretty much bringing back all these awesome Nickelodeon.
I was into DC doing Hanna-Barbera. I didn't know like they were bringing all this other stuff back.
So it's pretty awesome. If you grew up watching Rocko's Modern Life and love the television show, you're going to love these comic book series. They're pretty amazing because Rocko...
They're really worth a watch.
Yeah. They still get into crazy shenanigans. Rocko's always having his problems. So pretty much he got this new job with the Chunky Chicken restaurant. And he's trying to do an advertisement.
I never understood that as a grown up. Then as a grown up, I was like, oh. All right.
So, pretty much, he has his job. He's trying to impress them with some new advertisement ideas, and they're not going for it. So, one of his boss gets him a smartphone. He's like, okay, try to keep up with the times today. Check out some stuff. Like, do some homework. And he discovers social media. So he goes on a binge on social media, posting things, and then he posts his dog pretty much when he came home. The dog, his dog Spunky, is posing in front of the mirror with some shades and underwear. So he snaps that, and it goes viral. So
damn.
Rocko sees all these friends. He's like, oh my god, I got all these friends. Like, we're popular, Spunky. And then, like, he goes back to work, and he's like, we saw what you did, and you weren't supposed to do that. You were supposed to just do your research. So we're taking the phone away from you, and that you're now, we own you, so you're in contracts, him and Spunky. So they have to do this event, a promo event, and he goes upstage, and you know how Rocko is kind of like,
yeah.
He's like, hey guys, I'm having a good time, and everyone's like, boo, where's Spunky? So pretty much everyone wants Spunky, not Rocko.
Damn.
So the company sees where the money's at, so they take Spunky and...
Market research is evil.
Yeah, and Rocko's like, that's my dog. And they just like, not anymore. And they just take him. And that's how like the story goes. It's like...
That's sad.
Yeah. You know how like his stories, they always go sad. But like, the story's not over yet. So hopefully they... Of course, you know, they're going to be reunited. They're always reunited, no matter what.
When was the last time comics took a really left turn? It's been a while.
Mm. I know, but Boom Studios has been getting all these like originals and stuff. And bringing back all our favorite... TV shows back in comic book form, and they did a really good job.
Yeah, the last time I was excited for like DC was like the Hanna-Barbera stuff, and I was like loving the Flintstones. I don't know why I stopped. But
I think you only read that one series where it was pretty much they were really like man cave and they put shit on the walls and stuff.
Oh god!
Remember when we read that?
Did we?
Was that IDW or DC?
I don't remember.
Brought in back the Flintstones. And
that was DC.
It was
a more mature. I remember that.
It was really mature.
I loved it. I loved the whole thing that the land they were on didn't belong to them, but they actually like conquered it, like conquistadors, and they were all having PTSD about it.
Oh my god!
It was so dark. Sometimes I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, we killed these people. They didn't even know what land was, but we killed them and took it to live there, like, for the white man. I was like, Jesus. Yeah, I was like, all right. Not how I remember it as a kid. Oh, there was the story about his tie that was depressing.
Yeah.
He's like, why do you wear a tie if you're a construction worker? He's like, always dress for the job you want, not the one you have.
Oh.
He's like, how long have you had that tie on? It's like 20 years.
But he's in the movie. He finally gets the job. He gets the executive job.
Yeah. Mr. Rockman or whatever. Oh god, yeah, I missed out so many of these things. It's so good. Like, I mean, I think I started off as so DC Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while before I was like, you know what? What's on the other side?
Yeah.
Then you get to IDW. Then you get to Dark Horse. Boom. Image. Archie. Image. Image is big. God, there's some Oni Press.
Mm-hmm.
You start finding all the other comics, and then you're like, oh my god.
Publishing.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, even recently, like, I've been on a Vertigo binge.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's technically still DC, but, like, I feel it's, like, a lot more contained and its own thing. So, it's good to venture out there. I think when you give somebody all that freedom and they can really see their, like, you know, vision go where they want it to go.
Yeah. So, let's get into your comic books.
Oh, yeah. Sandman. Neil Gaiman approached for a small series, which I think he thought it was going to be like a contained amount. If you read the first trade, you can feel like this is the story where it begins and where it ends, and that's that.
Yeah.
The embodiment of dreaming. And that's, it's weird. It's so hard to explain, but it's literally this guy is the dreaming. Morpheus, the Sandman. He is the dreaming of the DC universe. He has brothers and sisters, death, delirium, despair, desire, you know, destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And he is captured to what's called, he gets captured by somebody in England during the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And he stays there for about 70 years. He breaks out in the 80s. And when he breaks out, you know, his mask was taken away, his sand powder was taken away, his dreamstone was taken away. It's kind of here where they really tied into the dream universe.
Yeah.
Because in like a 70s story, I think, there was a villain, Dr. Destiny, who fought the Justice League with the Dreamstone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of try to tie in all this stuff together. And so he's like, all right, Dr. Destiny, I have to go get my Dreamstone. And you start seeing Constantine, the Justice League. And I feel like this is kind of where you get like the first feel of it. And it's really, if you don't know Neil Gaiman, he's more like the comic book version of Guillermo del Toro.
And he also told me something interesting, that he's also the one that made Coraline.
Yes. As far as the big screen goes, that's about as much as you're going to get. Because I don't think anyone else besides Joseph Gordon-Levitt has even, he wanted to do Sandman on the big screen.
Yeah.
But besides that, you know, no one's touched his stuff.
Maybe one day we'll get it because, you know.
You'd have to read it, and it's
not doing so good, so you'll pick up a good story.
Oh, Vertigo has so many good stories ready to go. I mean, from Saga of the Swamp Thing with Alan Moore to Constantine, which got a great series, an alright movie. There's so much good stuff that they did that was like more mature content, and this would be one of them. It goes between fantasy and horror, back and forth. It plays with actual historical characters. He met Shakespeare, and they made a deal that he had to write two plays for him. One of them about his friends,
mm-hmm.
which ended up being A Midsummer Night's Dream. And the characters is based on watching him perform the play. And he said, before you die, like, you're going to write me one last play, and that's going to be the last play you ever write before you die. And that's, like, The Tempest. Mm-hmm. It ties it into that. It ties it into a lot of old...
This reminds me of the already
favorite. Right? I saw that movie when I was bored in Nashville.
It's good. I liked it.
I did.
It was amazing.
Right? And so it has a lot of embodiments and a lot of characters. I think there's a girl from the Justice Society that got pregnant and left and her husband died. And she becomes one of the main characters, her and her son. And like, but it doesn't play it so loud. It's not like Marvel with the crossovers and the cameos. So I kind of forget, like...
little cameos, you said, like in the first run.
And yeah, and when she comes out, she lives in LA in an apartment. And I think she's in an alley and like she gets in a fight with a guy and just wrecks him. And the cop was talking to her friend, like her like coffee buddy, her shopping buddy's like, oh yeah, like she was in the Justice Society, like she's a badass. But it's not like she goes around beating people up every other page. Like it's so downplayed, as I guess I would say it. Like you do see Martian Manhunter, you do see like Dr. Destiny, some Arkham. Constantine is in there for like an issue in the whole series. So it is tied down to there, but it really is its own thing.
Yeah. And it's really dark. I mean, the artwork is amazing. And it kind of gives like some like 80s vibes, especially the way they're dressed.
Yes. It's a beautiful series. I mean, even when I was done, I was like, was there sequels? Was there prequels? I had to look them all up. It's very well. He falls in love, like, because he's from the beginning. Since the first being in the universe ever dreamed, he existed. Because he's the ruler of dreamings. He's any book you thought of writing. Like, I would always love want to write a book about this, but then you die and never wrote it.
Yeah.
He has that book. Every book that someone thought of but never wrote, he has it in a library.
What?
It is a weird fantasy thing. He is the shaper of things. He gives your thoughts shapes and visions. Like, so everything you think about, he actually creates these worlds for you to like inhabit when you're dreaming. He influences a lot of people. He creates dreams, creates nightmares. He's, in an essence, I think like the whole series, as far as like from first issue to last issue ever published, I think it's a big, you know, thesis of what stories are. You know, your dreams are stories. And it places a big emphasis on that. But also that he's also kind of, in some ways, even though he's kind of like the god of dreaming or the being of dreaming, he does have some weird human feelings and he does kind of fail. Like, he does have feel jealousy. So from the first...
Is he able to dream or no?
He can go into... He is dream.
Yeah.
He doesn't go to sleep. He is dream. He is dream itself.
But does he envy it like other people?
No. I mean, he doesn't see it that way. He does envy, like, he fell in love with the first being of Oa,
mm-hmm.
where the Green Lanterns are from.
Yeah.
So she meets one of the very first people from Oa. She meets this girl that he falls in love with, and she's doing research. She's like, I have this green light. I want to find a way to harness it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the Green Lantern light. This is before the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
It's the first girl who discovered the light. And it's like, well, here I am the dreaming. Like, I can actually show you the light as a person. And then her and the light fall in love. And he starts feeling, like, jealousy. Yeah, and he starts telling Desire, like, his sister. He goes off on his sister, Desire. It's like, you made this happen, didn't you? He's like, I didn't do anything. And I was like, you think I did this? He's like, maybe I did this. You know, I am Desire. It's so weird.
So they can control, like, the fates.
No, if a lot of things is written.
No, like, the dream. He can control pretty much your dream.
He can intervene.
Destiny can intervene as well.
Destiny is more like he just sees the past, the present, the future. He doesn't do anything. He has a book chained to him. But he says, like, it's not... Some people say he chained himself to the book. I'll say the book chained itself to him. Who's chained to who? It's so weird and, like, out there fantasy. They will plant seeds early. Like, even from, like, the first couple issues, they'll pay off, like, in trade number 9. It's so crazy. But it goes in such a journey.
How many trades are there?
10.
Wow.
For the main series. Then there's a prequel, Overture, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's what trade called Endless Nights, which is like every Endless gets their own story. And there's one called Dream Hunters, which is the last one I had to collect. And I just read it yesterday. It has to do with like, it's a badger and a fox make a bet to drive out a monk in Japan. and they both like try to do different things to drive him out.
Because
he's a single monk in a single temple by himself. And the fox, during one of the pranks, turns into a woman to try to seduce him. Mm-hmm. And he finds out, like, Yiru's like, why do you have the tail of a fox? And he's like, oh, you caught me, and runs away. And then, like, at one point, they give up because the badger got beat really bad. And they kind of give up. And and the fox turns into a woman again. And the fox goes back and says, I'm sorry. So, but here's the thing. It's like, when I turned into a woman and I was with you, so I kind of started having feelings for you.
Yeah.
And the guy starts feeling the same way. And so the fox starts living as a woman with the man, with the monk, and they're in love with each other. But across, like, Japan, there's another guy who's, like, who wants to take over this temple. And he has his own, like, feelings, and he casts a curse on the monk. And it's a weird thing, because he casts a kind of dream spell, and, like, Sandman has to intervene. But it's, like, a weird kind of, like, Japanese tale into it. That was also kind of, like, a weird tie-in. I'm trying to think of other ones. There's two other spinoffs that focus on death. And that's also a really good one. But it's also, like, death is, like, there's different versions of death in DC Universe. Mm-hmm. I think the main ones we think about is the Black Racer. Like, the one who's chasing the Flash all the time. Mm-hmm. You guys don't know, the Reaper in the DC Universe is, like, a guy in a black suit, like, in ski masks. And he catches you and you die. Whereas, you know, death in the, you know, in the Neil Gaiman version is a gothic girl. No, she grabs people's like, yeah, you're dead. Let me talk you through it. What's going to happen? This is where you're going to go. She helps you accept that you died.
Yeah.
And
just leads you through it.
Yeah. It's like, you're dead. And she's like, it's just after you're dead. It's like, you're dead. Let me explain to you what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it walks you through it. It's really good. There's a guy, and it's every character kind of embodies, you know, their feeling to someone's on Earth. Like, Delirium is often hanging out with bums on the street because they're so delirious.
Yeah.
And they talk to dogs together. It goes all over the place. And it goes between historical figures, some people in the DC Universe. There's one where a girl, like, had a dream with all of her toys. Mm-hmm. And she imagined herself as a princess. And she had, like, a plush toy of a monkey as a butler. A plush toy of, like, a chipmunk, like, in a press outfit from, like, the 30s. You know, with the overcoat and the press hat. A big dog that was her friend. And then she starts being haunted by someone called the Cuckoo. And so you have all these fantastical little creatures being hunted down by, like, these really dark knights and being murdered. Yeah, and some of them spill out into the city from the dream world into the, like, real world. And there's a guy who just, like, in her apartment complex, they catch just grabbing birds and just swallowing them whole. It goes all over the place. And it's
crazy.
It goes all over the place. You do see the stories of, like, the gods and the way it ties into everything. It does have if you've been watching Lucifer, it was created in the series. If you watch Lucifer, you see that he lives in Los Angeles. And that's what the TV show's about, that he left hell. This story, you know, and I think it's in trade 4 or 5, you'll see why he left hell and he just abandoned it and what happened. It does go into hell, theology. It's crazy all over the place. It's in the DC universe, which is weird, but it's so focused on itself. You don't need to know anything. You don't need to know who Dr.
Read side stories or anything. Like, they say, oh, if you want to get this part, go get issue number, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, if you know who Constantine is, have a general idea, that's it.
Just pretty much have a general idea for some character.
You have to have a general idea of what the Justice League is like. You don't need to know who Dr. Destiny was. You don't need to know anything about the Justice Society.
So you can pick it up.
You can pick it up and read it through and get everything, which is a really good part.
Yeah, because at first when you brought these, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get it.
Oh, you'll get it.
It's always, like, you know, comics today, you have to read this, if you get to put this issue, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, like, say you want to pick up Robin, you might have to know who Batman was.
Yeah.
Okay, so no, you don't need to know any of this. And it's very much something I really loved, and I got into the first issue, and it felt like it wrapped up, but then I started seeing, it really goes back and forth, really dark, to, like, maybe halfway, and then it goes into, like, these really, like, side stories with the fairylands and fairies. It goes all over the place. I mean, been a big fan of Guillermo del Toro, how he mixes fantasy with horror,
yeah,
and love and comedy, yeah, and drama. So it's kind of the comic book version of that. And if you've seen Coraline, you kind of have an idea of what this guy is like.
It's kind of twisted in a way.
Yes. It's very, it can get very twisted at times. There are certain books like this one. The first two are very dark. The three definitely takes it a little lighter. Then four and five get dark again. And it kind of just kind of goes on fantasy.
Yeah.
You see like American politics in there. God, you see like one of them like as a president. And like you see all these worlds that exist in the dreaming. You see the other endless. God, it's so hard to explain.
I just like turned a page and one was just nailing, like hammering nails in this one guy's hand.
Oh, yeah. you see some dark stuff in the beginning.
Right.
Actually, in the second one, too. Like, I think I showed you the Corinthian.
Yes.
He's a weird dude with, like...
When they're pretty much gonna scalp one of the guy's skin off and...
Bone him and kill him and take their eyes.
Their eyes, yeah.
The doll's house.
That
little thing always scarred me. Like, that little one panel, like, always, like...
It's literally, like, just two little panels and, like... It got dark quick.
Yeah, it gets... That one... There's a serial killer convention.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Comic-Con, but everyone who attends... But everybody who attends is a serial killer in real life.
Oh, wait, in the book.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Like, there's literally, like, a big, fat, white dude with, like, Mickey Mouse ears. And all he... And he's, like, this weird pedophile who just kidnaps kids from, like, theme parks.
So it's kind of like, what's
his name?
John Wayne.
Okay, so yeah, kind of like that. It's literally some of the darkest stuff you'll go to. And then it'll jump to Shakespeare. And then it'll jump to this fairy and how she feels. And then it'll jump like...
So if you're into dark horror, like...
Yeah.
Craziness comic.
There is God. There's angels from the Silver City. Like in this universe, heaven is called the Silver City. And there's angels who come visit him. Lucifer is a fallen angel. You know, you get to learn about Lucifer a lot, too.
Yeah.
Here's interpretation of it. According to him, in the beginning of existence, like, he rebelled within 3 seconds of existing. And that's all it took, and he was banished. And then you learn about him in hell, and you start learning about his personality, which I guess, like, at the time it was being protested. Mm-hmm. Because you can't humanize Lucifer, even though he's still kind of an evil guy.
Yeah.
In a sense, but he's not as evil as you think. Let be like, oh, people sold me their souls and I made them do things. Like, it's not true. Like, people do what they want to do. He's like, you know, I don't even choose to punish people. They just come here. It's like, I just have to give them a place so they can get punished.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even want to be here half the time. And it's weird. It's like, people think I'm, like, sadistic. Like, I'm into torture. It's like, I'm not into any of this stuff.
Wow.
Like, he's very conniving. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's very backhanded in a stylish way. It's so weird, and then recently, after having read, like, Swamp Thing and stuff like that, I just really got into a Vertigo thing, and this is something that had been recommended to me for so long, and after powering through it, just reading every single issue, it was like, wow, how's this not been into, like, anything else? You know, besides this, I saw Sandman cameo in Quiver from Kevin Smith's Green Arrow run. That's the only other place I've seen him. And Death has been in other comics.
Yeah.
But that's about it. And I know they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
And if you see where it ends off, you're kind of a little, like, kind of, I don't know, not confused as to where they're going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see, if you read all 10 novels, you'll see where it ends. You're like, oh. Like, so are they starting over? Or they? Because hopefully.
Like a continuation.
Hopefully it is a continuation. Hopefully it just continues on to where they left off. And because issue 10, not issue 10, the last trade, The Waking, is just like, it feels like a big epilogue. Yeah. It doesn't feel like this is the end. It feels like 9 is the end and 10 is like, okay, what happens after? That's all like 10 feels like. It's not like a bad, it's just, but it really feels like more.
Do you have to wait for that next one to come out, or are they working on it now?
It's set to release in August.
We're,
yes.
Ooh. So will you be trying to get the issues, or are you going to wait for the trade?
I'm definitely going to... The first issue... It's going to break into 4 series.
Mm-hmm.
So the first issue is going to kind of like be written by Neil Gaiman.
Because
That's another thing that Neil Gaiman wrote in his contract was that no one can write this but me. You know, kind of like when Alan Moore did Watchmen?
Yeah.
And then like, he kind of got screwed over afterwards. But but Neil Gaiman literally said, like, I'd never want anyone to write Sandman but me. Like, issue one through the last issue is all Neil Gaiman. It's just at one point, Neil Gaiman just recently had this revelation. He's like, you know what? I should let other people play with it. You know, I let Mike Carey take Lucifer and write his own series. Ed Brubaker wrote his own series.
Yeah.
There was a four-issue miniseries called The Dead Boy Detectives. There's an issue somewhere in the series where a kid dies like in a boarding school. Mm-hmm. And he meets the ghost of another kid who had died in that boarding school like 70 years ago. And they decide that they're going to be ghost detectives. Like,
ghost detectives to like figure out why they died? Or
no, to help other people. Like, they kind of go into the, like, the regular waking world.
Mm-hmm.
And take detective like cases, but like as kids, you know?
Yeah.
And they have like their own little treehouse office. So it's like Ed Brubaker kind of took his own thing, and he did the Dead Boy Detectives, which is fun. I love that series too. So I guess I'm just excited to find new series. I want to get into Animal Man. I did read New 52 Animal Man. At the time, MTV Geek said that this was the best thing New 52 ever did, which I always felt was an overstatement until I read it, and I was like, oh my god, like, this is good. Now that I'm going to try to track it down from Vertigo and see where that goes, but I think I was so stuck on singles, and I was never tracking down like the classics, or, and now that's kind of what I'm trying to do with my comic book life.
Now you're just trying to get the trades.
Oh, yeah, what's Infinity Gauntlet about? Was the original good? I don't know.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Story?
What? Story? It was pretty good. I mean, compared to the movie, it's totally, like, different, but they...
You have to.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, they're not going to get it all in, but in the movie, it was pretty much going following the Infinity Comet, and then it went into Infinity Gauntlet.
Ah.
So pretty much, like, if you haven't read it, it pretty much starts off where, like, half the world is disappearing. Just like at, towards the end of the movie, because you know, Thanos already got gems. So that's how it's starting off. Half the world, half the superheroes are fading away. The Avengers team that's left over is trying to figure out what happened. So they find out how what's going on. They go after Thanos, and like a lot of characters die. Some come back, but not all of them.
Huh. I didn't feel that way with the movie.
Huh?
I mean, with the movie, there's like two guys that kind of see not coming back, and that's about it.
Well, it's kind of obvious as to who's going to come back, because you can see like in the Disney timeline what movies are coming out, you know?
Yeah.
Sure, so you're like, you know Black Panther's going to come back. You know Peter Parker.
Remember the trailer for Infinity Gauntlet? Or Infinity War? Where they're all charging. They're like in Wakanda charging the warriors.
Yeah, but that scene was never in it.
No. I see how I love how like Hulk is running beside them. Like, I was like, that was a lie.
Yeah. Which is pretty good, because it's like, oh, you think this is gonna happen, but you're getting a totally different story from what the trailer was giving you. You know,
that's what I liked about the first, what Batman Begins.
Yeah,
because I remember like in the comic books that while he was away on an adventure, mm-hmm. that he met with like a French like Secret Service man who trained him how to be a detective.
Yeah.
Was it a Henry Ducard? And so when Liam Neeson comes out, he's like, what's your name? It's like, I'm Henry Ducard. Like, my wife died. And I was like, oh, no way. Like, they're putting him in the fucking movie? That's so sick. You know? And then he's gone. And then out of nowhere, he's like, no, but really, I'm Ra's al Ghul. And I was like, oh. You know, it's like, they played with him like that. And it was so crazy. You know, they played with Victor Zsasz, but that turned out to be nothing. Same thing with, like, I remember still have the, when I first got the comic book, 10 Nights of the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
With where Batman fights the KG Beast, and he's like, he's going to be in Batman v Superman. I was like, what? That huge dude? I was like, all right. And it was just like some weird Russian gangster who gets lit on fire. He was the dude who kidnapped Martha.
Oh, yeah, from the V versus.
Yeah, like in the comic, he's like a super roided KGB agent who cuts his own hand to get away. Like, he's so crazy in that one. It's such a crazy story. Like, in the story, Batman leaves him to die, so it's like, at least it's kind of reflect that. But, no, you know, once you have to translate into the movies,
it's pretty hard to get what you want from the movies. But, like, it also depends on who writes it, and it does the screenplay really well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They could be forgiven for it, but if, like, they are really like jerks that are like, no, we're gonna change the story completely and give you this. It's like,
what? Just be faithful.
Yeah, be faithful a bit, you know.
I think like Heath Ledger wasn't the Joker, but you felt it.
Yeah.
Did he fall into a vat of chemicals? Did he ever have any laughing gas?
But it was kind of like a cool.
Did he have like
crime, like a different kind of Joker? I mean, even the DC world, they always kind of change up his stories.
But you felt like he brought in the essence of what the Joker was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he
into like the mental, like, because like with Dark Knight, it was more kind of like they trying to go with the realistic, like
more grounded.
Happen instead of like the whole kind of animated
Ace chemicals, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go realistic in the way, that way, you know?
You feel like he takes everything that the Joker is, you know, without being the Joker himself. He doesn't really have green hair growing out of him. He doesn't really have white skin.
Yeah, his makeup doesn't stay in place. It comes off, you know?
Oh, yeah, there's so much. Like, it's not just a white smile. It's like a Chelsea grin or something. Yeah. And I kind of like that. You capture the essence of something.
Yeah.
Whereas you could just be literal and suck at it, like with Green Lantern.
Like Jared Leto's
Joker. Jared Leto's Joker, in some ways I felt like he had to go his own way, but I don't know what the fuck happened there.
I know what the fuck Comic Keys was reading.
Wasn't he giving used condoms to all the actors?
Yeah, he was trying to get like too crazy, which is like, okay, really? He was giving like that and rats. It's like, that's not crazy. That's just being a jerk, you know?
I'd be like, I'm off. I'd be out of that movie. I know. It's so sad. Now I'm thinking about that Joker movie again.
Yeah.
Why are they still making Jurassic Parks, by the way?
I don't know, but I still watch them.
Same here. No, I just don't know. It's like, stop building this stupid park.
Oh, wow. What can you do?
Who is this guy who's like, he was like, spared no expense? I was like, yeah, you did.
But he was fucking rich, so it's not, who knows how much money he actually has if he's like spending no expense. But then he's all probably an investor as well. And people who like how he pretty much figured out the whole genetic thing, I'm pretty sure people were giving him fucking money.
Who was that dude who died in the toilet? Was he like an accountant?
He was like a lawyer.
They always bring the weirdest people.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw Prometheus, that was like the first thing I thought, like, they had like that one like Celtic guy who looked like a bodybuilder and shit. Like, he was like, oh my god, this is gonna be the badass of this movie. He looks like a weightlifter. He's like, I'm just a geologist, mate. Like, I like rocks. I was like, that's it? Like, the fuck? Like, I hope you fucking die.
But that concludes our episode today. So thank you, Billy, for coming on.
It was a pleasure. I hope to come back, you know, sometime as a guest again.
Oh, for sure.
I really wish I could do a regular thing, but it's just not gonna happen. But it's so good to once in a while
nerd out a bit.
Nerd out, slow down. You know, I just met one new guy at work who's into it. But he's really trying to get into a manga, and I was like, I'm all right. Like, I got Funimation. I can just watch that.
True. But thank you so much for joining on. Even though it took us a while to get together, but, you know, shit happens. We're finally here, finally doing, like, our own comic book reviews and
pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture.
We'll be back. I'll be back. And,
This won't be his last.
No, never. Never.
But thanks, y'all, for listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Adios.